rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Also, my warm salams to our dear audience, wherever they are in the world. And most importantly, my salams and salutations to the Imam of our time, Imam Mahdi ajalallah ta'ala farajahu shaykh. May Allah hasten his reappearance, and may we, inshallah, become one of the followers and true lovers of that Imam.
Inshallah ta'ala, may Allah hasten in his reappearance indeed. You've been telling us about the many dimensions in the personality of Imam Rida alayhi salam, and somehow I've always known this, but the more we speak about the Imam, the more I feel like these dimensions are never ending. The Imam is so absolute, so comprehensive, so complex, so unique.
A deep ocean.
Exactly. A deep ocean. That's exactly what it is. He's a bahr, you know? A vast, deep ocean that we will probably need thousands of more.
Just taking one small cup
exactly.
every time we talk
exactly.
about it.
Thousands and thousands of more episodes to be able to cover all aspects of the personality of Imam Rida. But we do what we can in the very short time we have.
Inshallah.
So please, tell us more.
I emphasized on the one specific feature of the Imam, which was humility, and the fact that whoever you are in the world, no matter what social position you have, you know, wealth position, political position, you're no one. You're really absolutely no one. And the criterion of your nobility is inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. So there's a nice story that I would like to share with you in the audience. Once, this man, who was one of the followers of the Imam Ahmad bin Muhammad Bazanti, if I'm pronouncing his name right, he, along with three other companions of the Imam, they go to him, and when they're about to leave, the Imam tells Ahmad bin Muhammad to stay a little longer. And he gets very happy. He says, "No, Imam has treated me differently. Alhamdulillah, maybe there is something."
If it were me, I would get nervous.
So he stays a little longer, and it's sleeping time, and he wants to leave. The Imam says, "Are you going to stay or leave?" He says, "It depends on you. Would you like me to stay a little longer?" And Imam says, "Yeah, sleep here for the night." And he is overjoyed with so much pleasure. Subhanallah, my Imam. All the other three people, you know, we were four people, we had come, they all left, and he didn't even mention anything. And so when Imam goes to his private room to do something, he goes to prostration to say hamd and to thank God for this special treatment. He said maybe there is something, you know, he wanted to show thanks, and he was becoming maybe a little bit proud of himself, a little bit. And so the Imam comes back while he's still prostrating. He gets up, Imam holds his hand, squeezes his hand, and says, "You know, when Ali alayhi salam went to Sa'sa to pay him a visit, he told Sa'sa that do not become proud because of my coming to visit you." So Imam actually read his mind.
Yeah.
He had qaybi, or unknown knowledge. From that specific ilm, God-given ilm that he had, he understood what was going in the heart of Ahmad bin Muhammad. So he says, do not forget that the only criterion of superiority is, again,
taqwa.
Piety.
Beautiful.
We might seem, you know, so what? You know, yeah, well, taqwa, piety, they all talk about it. But to put it into practice, here in this instance, application of taqwa was with regards to becoming proud.
Arrogant
of a special treatment that someone has for you. That we, in many instances of life, when something small happens to us, like someone talks highly of us, we think that we are someone special, and we should be treated like royalty. And we have the expectation that wherever I go, as Mrs. X or Mr. Y, I have to be treated in a special, you know, royal, with a royal treatment. But the Imam specifically pointed to the fact that you are no one. You are someone in the eyes of Allah only when you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you, Sister Razia. We're going to be back after a short break. Stay tuned. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. We've been speaking with Sister Razia about the personality of Imam Rida. We spoke about his piety. I think now is a good chance to mention the dimension of Imam Rida's knowledge, which is a very prominent dimension as well. How did it happen, though? What was the account of this part of his personality?
Many people think that Ali bin Musa al-Ridha, his aspect of knowledge was highlighted when he moved to Marv, and because of all the occasions that Ma'mun prepared a debate session between the Imam and the scholars of his time, whether they were Zoroastrian scholars coming from Iran or Christian or Jewish scholars coming from all parts of the world. He arranged different meetings, debate meetings with the Imam. That the Imam had two intentions. First of all, he was hoping that in one of these sessions he was able to catch the Imam's fist making a mistake.
Ma'mun wanted to expose the Imam.
Wanted to expose the Imam to the opportunity that hopefully he would not be able to answer the questions of all these great scholars of the time coming from all over the world. So this was one intention. The other intention was that if not, the first one, he was hoping that he would ruin the reputation of the Ahlul Bayt. And secondly, he said, if he's able to answer all the questions, then people will be saying that, look at Ma'mun, what kind of heir apparent he has chosen for himself. Mm. Look at his good selection.
So win-win situation.
A win-win situation, exactly. So it doesn't start in Marv. Mm. Because we call Ali bin Musa al-Ridha Alim Ali Muhammad, the most knowledgeable. Of course, all the Ma'sumin, the noble prophet, then Imam Ali, all were alim. They were the most scholarly figures of their time. But in every era, in every specific time that an imam lived, one specific feature is made bold, and is highlighted,
and it stands out.
And it's in the case of Ali bin Musa al-Ridha, it's because of all these sessions that Ma'mun had for the Imam. And even if it goes back to the city of Medina, Imam himself says that I would sit in the mosque of the Prophet waiting for people to refer to me with their questions. And it was a common thing, it was a common practice, it was a sunnah apparently at that time, that all the great scholars of the time who were living in Medina or other places, whenever they had questions, they either themselves or sent someone to go to the grandson of the Messenger of Allah, Ali bin Musa al-Ridha al-Murtadha, to ask their questions. And he would provide, he was always ready to spread the word of the Ahlul Bayt. This is something that, subhanallah, I'm really amazed. It takes your breath away just to see the care and concern of the wali of Allah on the earth, of how he was always ready.
How much effort they put into providing for their nation.
Exactly. This is one instance. The other instance goes back to the case that a personality like Muhammad bin Ishaq bin Musa ibn Ja'far, who was obviously the grandchild of Imam Musa, he says that he narrates from his father, who narrates from his father, Imam Musa, who says that, among my children, whichever of you have any questions with regards to religion, with regards to any affairs of the world, refer to my son Ali, as he is Alim Ali Muhammad. As I have heard also from my father that a man will be born from among your descendants, from among your children, who will be called, titled Alim, the knowledgeable, the scholarly figure of Ali Muhammad, that I wish I, his name is Ali, and I wish I was there and I could see him. It's the case that two imams, two infallible imams, Imam Musa and Imam As-Sadiq, have given the title of Alim Ali Muhammad to Imam Ar-Ridha. And Imam Musa says that my father has told me that such a man will come from your descendants, and I wish I was there to, you know, that I was able to see this scholarly figure. So this is again one more ray of light on the personality and the specific aspect of knowledge or scholarly figure of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha. There are so many other stories. Remember I told you about the conversation that went on between Ma'mun al-Abbasi and Raja bin Abi Zahak, that Raja was accompanying
officer, right.
An officer of Ma'mun, was there employed to escort the Imam all the way from Medina to Marv. And Raja says that in every city that we went, because they had, the caravan was moving from city to city, stopping in every city the muhabbin of the Ahlul Bayt, and even other people, even other lay people, they would come to Imam Ali bin Musa Ridha to ask him about their scholarly questions, or non-scholarly questions, questions that they had regarding religion, regarding their ahkam, about their lifestyle, everything. They would come to him. They knew that Ali was a very good and reliable source, an authentic source that they could ask their questions from.
Alhamdulillah, that as Shias, as Muslims, we are blessed with not only one, not two, not three, but 14 of such characters, such infallible characters that are so dynamic and are so vast in their personality that we can receive all sorts of blessings from their direction. And alhamdulillah that we're living in the time of the last of the infallibles, Imam Zaman alayhi salam, as difficult of a time it is, but to be under the radiance of such a glowing sun is truly a privilege. Thank you, Sister Razia.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to our audience for being with us. The countdown continues, and we are getting close by the hour to the birth anniversary of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Thank you for tuning to From the Moon to the Sun. Hope to see you on Eid Day. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
The limelight. ProPublica compiled 68 videos that seem to show U.S. officers using disproportionate force on protesters. A year later, police have disclosed discipline for a total of 10 officers. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Molly Simon, researcher. This article is published under the heading, Few Cops Who Used Force on George Floyd Protesters Have Faced Discipline. Stay tuned for more. Last summer, ProPublica compiled 68 videos that appeared to show police officers using disproportionate force against protesters during nationwide events following George Floyd's death in police custody. They had culled the videos from hundreds circulating on social media in the wake of the protests and highlighted the cases that seemed to clearly show officers using disproportionate force. They then reached out to dozens of law enforcement agencies whose officers are in the videos and asked some straightforward questions. Have the officers' police departments investigated the incidents? And what consequences, if any, have the officers in the videos faced? As time passed, they have been checking in with the departments to get their answers. After a year, they wanted to give a final update on what we know. Departments have disclosed discipline for 10 officers. Seattle Police Department officer received a written reprimand for striking a protester with 6 to 8 punches over 6 seconds. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, an officer shot a man in the shoulder at close range with a long-range tear gas round. He received 2 days without pay. In Salt Lake City, an officer received coaching and counseling for using a shield to push an elderly man. 6 officers were initially fired, though 2 got their jobs back after a review. Criminal charges are also pending against 11 officers, including some who have already faced internal discipline. In 17 cases that it was followed, the departments have decided not to discipline the officers or could not identify them. Investigations are still ongoing in 25 of the cases. This includes a high-profile case in Buffalo, New York, where 2 officers pushed the man backward, causing him to hit his head on the pavement. A grand jury dismissed felony assault charges against the officers, but a decision on departmental discipline is still pending. Finally, in 18 instances, ProPublica could not determine the disciplinary outcome, either because the department did not respond or the department said it could not share the information. Journey of accountability has played out starkly around one of the cases in Atlanta. In May 2020, the mayor announced the firing of 2 officers just the day after they were involved in the violent arrest of 2 college students who were pulled from a car. But the officers quickly sued to get their jobs back, citing a lack of due process. In February, Atlanta Civil Service Board agreed. The 2 officers are once again employed by the department but remain on administration leave. The incident remains under investigation. Criminal charges have also been filed against the officers, including assault, though the district attorney who brought them has since been voted out of office. One reason departments have declined to comment on the status of cases is that the incidents have been subject to litigation, but the back and forth on such suits can be illuminating. Responding to a lawsuit by a protester who was hit by a Los Angeles Police Department vehicle, the city wrote that the force used against plaintiff, if any, was caused and necessitated by the actions of plaintiff and was reasonable and necessary for self-defense. In about half of the cases reviewed, including one resulting in discipline, the officer or officers involved have not been publicly identified. Sometimes it's not even clear which law enforcement agency they worked for. In Minneapolis, where Floyd's death occurred, spy parking garage across the world, the video captured a moment in May when officers patrolling a neighborhood fired paint rounds at a woman's home while enforcing a curfew. A Minnesota National Guard spokesperson told ProPublica the agency was not involved in the incident. The Minneapolis Police Department said the incident was not our agency. The Minnesota State Patrol said that it reviewed the video of the incident and that the officer who fired the marking round was not a State Patrol trooper. When asked which agency the officers who fired the paint round were from, the spokesperson said it was unclear. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/EN. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection
of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by famous Iranian Shiite orator and lecturer, Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
آیت‌الله حسن‌زاده آملی رو ایشون خودشون من از زبان خودشون دارم عرض می‌کنم خدمتتون می‌فرمودن که وقتی بعد از
Once Ayatollah Hasanzade Amali, the famous Iranian Shiite scholar and mystic, may Allah protect him, told me a story about himself. He said, "Once after my classes were done, when I was taking a short nap during the noon, the children were playing in the yard and were making lots of noise. I got a little bit angry and criticized them for the noise. Then I decided to continue my rest. However, I found that I cannot rest because I was not happy at all with my own behavior towards the children in the yard. I decided to leave the village in which I was living for a while and go and visit one of my spiritual trainers. From Amul, I traveled to Tehran, and from there I went to Tabriz. I went to the house of my teacher, the late Ayatollah Elahi Tabatabai, the brother of the late Allama Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai. Ayatollah Elahi Tabatabai was a great mystic and the teacher of his time. When I got to his house, he asked me about the reason for my stay in Tabriz. Because I was supposed to be in Amul now and have my teaching courses over there.
هنوز داشت به تعارفات اولیه میگذشت و ایشون میخواست برای من چایی بیاره و خوش آمدی و هنوز به این چیزا داشت میگذشت.
When Ayatollah Elahi Tabatabai was serving me with tea, suddenly he told me, "By the way, the late Ayatollah Ghazi was not happy with you. He told me in my dream that if you want to understand the presence of Imam al-Mahdi, you must be more careful with your behavior." I was shocked and embarrassed by this sentence of my master Ayatollah Elahi Tabatabai and understood that the great men of Allah can witness our behavior by the grace of Allah. Then I told my teacher and master, the late Ayatollah Elahi Tabatabai, "The reason I am here is because I broke the hearts of some children at my house when they were playing, and I was not happy with their noise." From this story, which is narrated by Ayatollah Hasanzade Amali, we understand that many of our problems or spiritual shortcomings are rooted in our own behaviors and deeds in this world. In other words, many of our spiritual imperfections are caused by our carelessness about trivial points inside our house.
به خاطر همین چیزاییست که تو خونه آدم رعایت نمی کنه. همین چیزای کوچیک کوچیک.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulema's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanallah.
If you're a car lover, this story is for you. Over 300 classic vehicles have taken part in a retro rally across Estonia. The 1,000-kilometer rally kicked off in the town of Paide. It drew participants from Latvia and Finland. Their motto is Straight Ahead to the Past. The vintage cars participated in the event are mostly produced between 1930 and 1980. Experts say all the vehicles are in good condition. However, they doubt if all the vehicles can make it to the end of the five-day rally. A Palestinian artist has come up with the idea of making children feel happy after the recent Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip left many people dead. Amna Sami is a young Palestinian artist who has gathered Palestinian kids in the city of Beit Lahia, north of Gaza. That's where houses were destroyed by Israeli airstrikes and bombings during the recent aggression on the territory. Sami draws the Palestinian flag as well as the map of Palestine on children's cheeks as patriotic symbols. She says she does that to say that these people in the midst of destruction will become strong again. Sami says by painting on kids' faces, she wants to send a message to the world.
I'm sending a message to the world that our children should live like other children in the world, away from danger and destruction. It is their right in life to live as children in a safe place, a place that gives them something to live a normal life.
Palestinian kids say they feel happy when Sami paints their faces. The Israeli regime launched this devastating onslaught on Gaza. In early May, at least 256 Palestinians, including 66 children, were killed during the 11-day war. A Turkish band has found musical inspiration in a most unlikely place, a local landfill. Here's more. Members of Funk Istanbul have assembled instruments from the dump in a junkyard in Istanbul. They used their ingenious new tools to play Turkish folk music. The band aims to raise awareness about recycling. Turkey is one of the biggest producers of municipal waste globally. The country has a low recycling rate. Only 12% of waste is repurposed there.
Technology has come in handy to rescue animals in disaster zones. American cinematographer Douglas Thron has used a high-tech infrared drone to save animals from fire or storm, or even those who are stuck in trees. The drone he uses has a large thermal camera, a spotlight, and zoom lens. The good point is that the aerial vehicle does not make too much noise, therefore it does not scare away animals.
So what I do is I fly infrared drones primarily at night over disaster areas after a hurricane or a fire hits, and I look for people's pets, whether it be cats or dogs, and I also look for injured wildlife, and then either I or rescue crews will go in and rescue the animals after I spot the animals after these natural disasters.
Thron has so far rescued hundreds of stranded animals in various places in the US and Australia. Emergency services have allowed him to participate in rescue efforts after making sure that the drone works well to achieve its goal. A video has gone viral showing animals at a US zoo enjoying their bath time becoming clean as a new pimp. Keepers at Chicago's Brookfield Zoo washed the animals to celebrate International Bath Day. From anteaters to rhinos all got sprayed with a water hose. They seemed to love their bath time as it kept them cool in the summer heat. Zoo officials say the occasion is to honor ancient Greek scientist Archimedes, who made a discovery while in the bath. You might be pleased to know life is going back to normal as countries around the world are easing coronavirus restrictions. Disneyland in the French capital of Paris is saying bonjour to visitors once again with all necessary precautions. Bet everyone missed that. The theme park reopened its doors to the public with limited tickets and an online reservation system. All visitors over 6 years old are required to wear face masks and to observe social distancing guidelines. New attractions, including a hotel and various car rides, are also available for guests. Disneyland Paris was shut for over 7 months due to rising COVID-19 infections. This is the first time since January 2020 that all the six Disney resorts are open.
Elders in an Indonesian town are rewarded with live chickens if they get vaccinated for COVID-19. Officials in a town of Sipanas launched the program after the vaccination campaign faced a low turnout from the public. Many have been reluctant to receive a jab over various reasons. Some say they were afraid that they would die if they get vaccinated. Now it seems that the rewards they take have worked well and more people are willing to get a shot. Officials in the Indonesian town say they go door to door to give the elderly jabs and chickens to show their appreciation.
Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids have the right to live a free and happy life. The children said their dream is to fly in the sky without any restrictions or wars. A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only 5. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she has inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongqing village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Let's go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red-hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now. Egypt has opened its first archaeological replica factory in an attempt to promote its culture worldwide. The factory was inaugurated in response to people's demand for having detailed copies of ancient treasures. So far, over 6,400 high-quality replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts have been produced. More than 150 artists work to make the goods out of stone, wood, and even gold.
The materials with which these are made are high quality. The highest and most elegant materials are being used to make these samples, and the materials are very close to those used to make the original artifacts.
The models have certificates showing that they are identical copies of the original artifacts. Each replica also has a barcode that provides extra information about the item. The factory is located in Kalyuba, about 35 kilometers northeast of the capital, Cairo. Now, a lot of people don't like rats and find them disgusting most of the time. However, the rodents are doing life-saving work in Cambodia. Now, the Southeast Asian nation has deployed a new squad of African giant pouched rats to sniff out old landmines. The new recruits have shown an exceptional ability at their task, with their handlers claiming 100% accuracy. There are now nearly 50 demining rats working in the field in Cambodia. The country started using the animal services in 2016, and they have helped detect and clear hundreds of landmines since. Last year, an especially heroic rat called Magawa attracted global fame after receiving a gold medal for his work. The hero rat, who is now retired, detected over 71 landmines.
A muralist from Greece is blending mythology with graffiti and street art to depict how COVID-19 has impacted lives around the globe. Ficus Antonios has painted the walls of many cities around the globe. He is now in the Cypriot capital, Nicosia, to continue his work. His latest artwork depicts Americus, a Cypriot mythical figure who was punished by the gods and turned into a plant. The Greek artist believes this theme is similar to the situation people around the globe have experienced since the pandemic began. He explains many people have grown roots because they're staying in one place for so long. Two British artists have brought a combination of fun art and environmental concerns to the sidelines of the G7 summit. They have created a modern-day version of famous sculpture carved into America's Mount Rushmore. This time, it's called Mount Recyclemore. Joe Rush and Alex Rakic have made a sculpture of G7 leaders with electronic waste. They say their major goal is to raise awareness about the amount of unrecycled tech and gadgets, the damage they cause to the environment, and the ways to combat the issue internationally.
Well, what I'd like them to do, the leaders of the G7 conference, is I'd like them all to talk to each other and work out a plan that isn't just shifting the problem from one country to another, you know, but actually is a plan that we all work on together, which is how to deal with this waste and how to stop producing so much waste and how to recycle things. And these, all these issues have got to be dealt with globally. They can't be dealt with nationally because that's where the problem is. So we need them all to get together, like we've put them together here, and deal with the problem.
The United Nations says 53 million tons of electronic waste are generated annually all over the world. It estimates that the amount of the waste will double in less than 30 years. If that happens, electronic waste would become the fastest growing waste stream in the world. Advanced robots are increasingly helping humans in a variety of innovative ways. Now they have found a place in the healthcare system and will help nurses and doctors stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I can do all kinds of things for elderly people. I can visit with people and brighten their day with social stimulation, entertain and help guide exercise, but also can do talk therapy, take bio readings and help healthcare providers assess their health and deliver treatments.
Grace, which is the newest humanoid robot to join the healthcare fleet. This intelligent machine can take temperatures and record other vital signs of patients. It has been designed in a way to also interact with the elderly and those isolated by the pandemic. Grace is a new prototype of celebrity humanoid robot, Sophia, created by a robotic team in Hong Kong.
So we designed Grace to look professional in a healthcare setting. So that would mean so that she would resemble the sort of human-like appearance of healthcare staff. And so then this would facilitate more natural interactions. A human-like appearance facilitates trust and facilitates a natural engagement because we're wired for human face-to-face interactions. That's just the way human beings are.
Hansen, a while standing between Sophia and Grace, also said that both robots could speak different languages. He said Grace's creation was aimed at relieving the burden of frontline hospital staff dealing with COVID-19 patients. The company is planning a mass production of Grace and offers them to the market by August. The cost of making this robot is similar to a luxury car, but the cost is likely to decrease once the company begins manufacturing it in its thousands.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء.
اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء. O Allah, I ask you by your mercy that envelops everything, and I also ask you by your strength through which you dominate everything, and towards which everything is humble, and before which all things are lowly. A phrase from a supplication stated by an infallible Imam's conscious heart and mind reads, surely you are the God to whose strength everything is capitulated and humble. You are able to do anything to your creatures and dominate any of them. You are the one who created all the things and have control over all of them. You are the master of all things, and there is no God except you. You are the generous and the mighty. Now, granting the exigency of a humble and weeping servant on a Thursday night is rather simple and easy for the one who has dominated everything with his infinite power, and to whose strength everything is submissive. And it is absolutely effortless for him to somehow manipulate his various agents in the heavens and in the earth to grant his servants worldly and heavenly demands. Is it possible that a heart broken, who calls Allah by his mercy and strength, and who knows nothing about him, remain unfortunate? Of course it's not. Never would such a thing happen. It is not strange for worldly, incapable beings to be incompetent in fulfilling others' demands. However, Allah's all-sufficient existence and his infinite mercy and strength obliges the fulfillment of the supplication in accord with servant's expediency and his own wisdom. We read in the 13th supplication of Sahifa Sajjadiyya, you have attributed your creatures to poverty, and they entirely need you. Therefore, one who asks you to compensate the shortcomings of his life and alter his poverty to richness has indeed turned to the precise position and the right one to obtain his need. And one who asked his exigency from one of your creatures has certainly deprived himself and does not deserve your favor.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny. Oh Allah, I beseech you, by your mercy which encompasses everything, and by your power by which you overcome everything, and which submits to it everything, and humble before it is everything. And by your might by which you conquer everything, and by your majesty against which nothing can stand, and by your greatness which prevails over everything, and by your authority which is exercised over everything, and by your own self that shall endure
forever after everything has vanished. And by your names which manifest your power over everything. And by your knowledge which pervades everything. And by the light of your face which illuminates everything. O he who is light, O he most holy, O he who is light, O he most holy.
Then Imam Sajjad alayhi salam continues saying, I eagerly follow the path towards you, and I only hope and believe in you. I know that what I ask you is easy before your strength, however difficult it may be to me. And I realize that what I need is so trivial for you, however significant it may be for me. Your generosity does not become narrow by anyone's exigency, and it is by your bounty which is above all other generosities. So, when we recite this part, we should know that the world and its beings that were nothing and did not even deserve a reference became beings by His will, by Almighty Allah's will, and they continue existence under His mercy and strength. They are not independent of Allah, they are basically poor and humble before Him. وَخَضَعَ لَهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ means everything is humble to His power. وَذَلَّ لَهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ before which all things are lowly. A human being is not worthy of exhibiting power and pride before Almighty Allah's strength, because his body is as trivial as a handful of soil. His soul is but a moment of existence, and his mind is incapable of knowing even a tiny atom. So a human cannot separate himself before Allah, the one whose mercy has surrounded all his life. Otherwise, it causes him loss and deprivation from Almighty Allah's mercy, and as a result, doomed punishment. So we are done talking about the two phrases of this dua, and we will inshallah talk about the next part, وَبِجَبَرُوتِكَ الَّتِي غَلَبْتَ بِهَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ in the next program. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
IRIB English Radio.